thank you for
stress test.
It's a lot brighter up here than it was. I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, March 25th, 2013. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on the agenda tonight is the approval of the regular session minutes meeting of March 11th. Are there any corrections or additions?
Motion to approve.
All right, we have a motion to approve the regular session minutes of March 11th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the record show that the motion passed 4-0 with Councilmember Lynch is absent. Next is the approval of the executive session minutes of March the 11th.
Motion to approve the executive minutes.
Okay, All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Hall to approve the executive session minutes of March 11th, 2013. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the reason for the closure of the executive session. Twofold. One was to consult with staff, consultants, or other individuals about pending or potential litigation. And the second reason was before a contract is awarded or bids are open, discuss a matter directly related to a negotiation strategy or the contents of a bid proposal. Next, we have Diana Purnell representing Rave. Diana, thank you for coming and bringing the snow in.
Thank you very much for allowing me to come before the council tonight. How are you all doing?
Great, thank you.
I came to do a presentation basically about BRAVE. And the acronym BRAVE stands for Berlin Reclaims Attitude and Value Enhancement. And we are a 501c3 organization, and we've been in existence in Berlin for over 20 years. And the BRAVE came together because of partnerships with the town of Berlin, with the Worcester County Health Department, with the Berlin law enforcement office, and other organizations within the community and the churches, because we saw the need for our kids in the area of Berlin. And we operate a lot on volunteer services within the community. You have a letter before you that I put together because I wanted you to know who we are for those that did not know who BRAVE is. So can I quickly read that to you and we get right into it. BRAVE, Berlin Reclaims Attitude and Value Enhancement, is a community-based organization in Berlin, Maryland, whose mission is to raise the standard and quality of living for the greater Berlin community. BRAVE achieves such standards and qualities of living by implementing social, cultural, and educational programs for our youth. BRAVE encourages our youth to gain self-worthiness and self-determination, which are the tools necessary to strive for a positive lifestyle and become a powerful asset to their surrounding communities. In the past 20 years, BRAVE implemented many activities that reinforce these values. This reference to 22 kids is what we actually had this summer in our camp, ranging in age 6 through 11 years old, of our summer camp. Each child enrolled in our summer camp program are offered the opportunity to explore many different establishments, such as the Sturgis One Room School, the Discovery Center in Pocomoke, and the Philadelphia Zoo, which are places they may not have been before. Also, BRAVE continues to monitor their students' educational progress throughout the summer by providing reading and math readiness. As the climate of our community changes, Brave understands the need of having a well-established organization such as ours is vital to continue to guide our youth in the right direction. So, one of the things I would like to emphasize that when Brave first started, Worcester County school system jumped right in there with us head over heels. We did all our programs at the middle school, basically. They brought the kids their food. But one of the things that we did, we always said that Brave Camp would be fun, but it would be educational and it would partner with the school system, because kids seem to forget what they've learned over the school year when they're out playing. They just forget everything. So what we did, we established programs that would keep them reading, keep them doing their math, looking at the scientific facts, but yet having fun at the same time. So when they went back to school, their minds were still in a learning mode and doing things. And that's what we've done over the last 20-some years of working. But we need help. We have a lot of volunteers, but things have changed drastically. So the kids, because of the economic climate, a lot of parents can't afford the small tuition that we have for the kids, for the camp fees. And I need help with that. That's what we're here for tonight. We need help for that. Some parents have two kids, some parents have three kids, and even with the small amount of $25 per week, because you'll see I've given you a complete layout of our program, what we do, you know, how we've got everything set up, our scheduled activities, our tentative schedules of the time that we will be doing our activities, and how we're set up. We carry our insurance, because that's very important. We have something in force before the church is brought in force. We take the opportunity to make sure our people have background checks working with our kids, and we make sure that our kids are safe, you know, all the time. So we're well established, and we've been in this area for a long time, and we can stay in this area for a long time. But I've always partnered with the town of Berlin. There was a time we worked with juvenile justice. We did all those things. And the town of Berlin was right there, especially through the police department. They were always there. And some of your members here tonight, Miss Mary Boland, she worked with us for years, Chief Downing. So that's my presentation about Brave. Any questions? Try to answer.
Does anybody have any questions for Diane? Because I think we're all pretty familiar with the program, yeah. And, which is excellent.
Thank you. They're fantastic pictures, by the way.
Thank you. We, you know, Berlin is a fantastic community because on the east of Worcester County, we have so much that the kids need to know about. You know, the Sturgis from Discovery Center, they love the Discovery Center. Okay, that's just like, that's the place. Assateague Island. And we have to work with these kids. We have no choice but to work with our kids.
And I think the cool kids part of that program has become very well known, too.
Yes.
Which is sort of a brand within a brand.
Brand within a brand.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Does anyone have any questions? I anticipate good things, but as the way we're going to take the all the requests, yes, that we're getting for grants,
right,
is we will begin our, we'll do our budgeting in the first two meetings where we don't work, meet regularly in April.
Right.
And what we'll do is we'll do the general budget first. And what we'll do is we'll take all the requests.
Yeah.
And
I got it right here. It's
going to
be the 15th and the 29th, right?
Yeah, that sounds
that's
right.
Our workshop.
Yeah, the 15th is when we do that. And what we'll do is we'll review them all, and we'll make a decision then so that everybody who's made a request will know what we're doing. And we won't have to wait until the first or right, middle of June to have the whole thing done.
Thank you.
I think with that we can certainly make that commitment to you and that promise, because everybody's got to make plans. and so I think that way you'll have adequate time to know your level of support, and also what we'll be able to do as a part of the regular budget process, and it'll all be very transparent and the way we do everything, hopefully everything else we're trying to do.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Come in, Diane. We'll work together with the children.
Thank you very much.
Number three on the agenda is a resolution 2013-03. And Dave, are you going to do that resolution?
What we're going to do tonight is only introduce the resolution. We're going to have a public hearing on this after publication as required by state law. After the resolution is introduced, it has to be published twice weekly in a local paper. So what we're looking at is having a public hearing on the annexation of this particular property, I believe on the second meeting in April, which is April 29th. And for those who aren't aware, this piece of property is the Dunlap property. It's owned by Soldier B. It was just, it had a house that was just burned down recently on it. It's between Barrett Chevrolet and I believe Dr. Panakis' building. It's on Old Ocean City.
A map would help.
Chuck will make sure we have that for when the hearing is. One thing I want to just make sure we put on the record, and talking to Dave and talking to Chuck, this had been contemplated for quite a few months. The reason it's waited to this point, because one of the requirements was the house had to be burned down. It was a house in disarray that would not meet the town of Berlin's code. There still is rubble and debris on the site, so I want to make it known that prior to asking council to approve this, that this needs to be corrected. And,
the site needs to be cleared.
It needs to be cleared. We would not want to bring in a property that the first thing would happen if our code enforcement would go out and give them a citation. That would not make sense.
Well, I have a question, because I rode by the other day and looked at that, and, you know, houses have been going down, and, you know, commercial's been going up. So we're annexing that as an ad need basis, kind of?
It's going to be, the applicant got prior approval from the county commissioner. It's going to be zoned B1.
Okay.
So it's going to have a commercial zone.
There's only a few more houses left there now, and then it's all going to be...
Chuck, isn't it from that annexation that took place, I'm going to say roughly 10 years ago, maybe less, but there were only a few properties that came in at that time, and what has been happening is gradually, every few years, we have one or two more that come into the seek annexation.
It was a road bed annexation, wasn't it?
To because I know Steve Decatur Middle and High School needed a sewer and water at the time.
Right, the entire road bed is annexed, and there's a few enclaves throughout the Old Ocean City Boulevard from 113 to 50 that is still county zoned, still in the county. But what's happened is that anything that's in the town right now that has a residential use on it is legal non-conforming. Because it's all zoned B2 commercial, what's in the town. And the I'm not real familiar with the county zoning there, but any redevelopment of any site out there would require water and sewer, because the county's not going to approve. It's very unlikely the county would approve any commercial development on a septic in that neighborhood. So anytime somebody looks to redevelop the property there, they're going to be knocking on the town's door. And they just come in as the property owners have an interest in redeveloping the property.
And that's pretty much, I think, what was foreseen, but nobody had any idea what the timeline is. It's coming along,
Didn't we offer it 7 if you annex when we did the
at
road
the time,
bed?
At the time.
Right, there were water and sewer breaks then.
And some of the, ironically, some one property came in right after the incentives ended because they finally realized that they couldn't do anything with the property unless they annexed.
And the property owner has been informed that there are no EDUs established for that property, so they will be required to purchase EDUs from the town for any development of it.
Based on the choosing.
Based on the need.
So when we talk about this property being contiguous, it is with the road bed.
No, it's contiguous to the Kanakis doctor's office, which is built, and that is annexed into the town. Okay. So it is contiguous, both the road and the adjacent property.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Are either the dealerships, are either of them in town?
Yes.
Yeah, one is.
The new one is.
The map would really be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, it would just bring us up to date.
Right on the screen.
Troy,
way did you want them out?
How do you want to show them out?
The one on the right, that's the town, but the one on the left isn't?
Both are.
Are they both are?
Both are. Again, you won't find two people to be able to tell you every piece of property that's in or out of town.
Oh, so that's a funny looking line then.
I bet you can tell them that.
The county looks at the map every day and they call us and they're confused. You have to go ahead and actually go on the actual tax records to know.
I'm going to check a couple of maps and what's annexed in town within.
Are you saying the Barracks on the north side is annexed?
It's out of town.
It is out of town.
South?
On the south side, it is. In town. Right, that's what I thought.
Well, one's a Chevrolet, one's a Chrysler. So the Chrysler's in, the Chevrolet's out.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And just a reminder, everyone, that meeting when we will likely have the actual introduction of the annexation would be the second meeting in April, which I think you said was the 29th.
22nd.
I thought you said the 22nd was the work session. 29th.
It's the work session. 15th and the 29th are work sessions.
And
the
2nd
will be the second conference.
It's the 3rd and 5th that's the work session.
Already. Next,
I'm talking about 5 months and 30 months.
30
day
month. Next, item 4, which is the program of space annual allocation wish list. And Mary Bowman, you're going to be reviewing this with us.
This is our annual submission to Worcester County for our program open space development wish list, as we call it. This year, we have added the development of an area for use as a farmer's market in Steve Decatur Park. Other than that, the plan is essentially as it has been for the last few years. As you're aware, the county has not allocated funding to the municipalities for the last few years, but they continue to invite our wish list, so we're always hopeful that they will see the ability to give it to us one of these years.
I think it's best that we have it on the record.
Yes.
That way when times get better, then we'll have something to develop. Thank you. Next is number 5, a motion to approve an award.
Mayor, I'm sorry, this does actually require council's approval.
Oh, okay.
In order to submit it to the county.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Does anyone wish to make a motion to approve the program open space request to Worcester County as proposed by the town deputy administrator?
So moved.
Council member.
Can you indicate number dollars?
$165,000?
Is that what we're talking
about?
That's
the total. Local, the 158 was the state
urban space request, right? Correct. For any development project, the town is required to have a 10% match.
Okay, so we're talking about, in total, $165,000.
Correct. Yes.
All right. With that explanation, we have a motion by Councilmember Purnell to submit our annual program open space request to the county commissioners for a total of $165,000. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you.
Next is a motion and a motion for approval of the Calvert project that is on West Street. And Tony, who are you going to be the one to bring us up to date? Because this is today's development, right?
Yes, it is. This is a project we've been working on for a couple years now. Actually, in February 28th of 2011, Councilmember Lynch made a motion to have the town spend $20,000 of our funds plus in-kind services, and this was to match the $25,000 from Assateague Land Trust that they had for this project. So as you can see, we're well past 2 years in the making. The reason the project went longer than we anticipated, because when we did the calculations for the water flows, it was very apparent that the culvert that was underneath West Street at that location was undersized. So we had to regroup and find out what is the correct way to go. We developed it now that we're increasing the culvert size that we feel will be beneficial to all of West Street by utilizing a bigger culvert underneath the road. Working with a couple different engineers, we've developed different boulders that will be used on the side. As you saw, the one picture of the gentleman brought in the lawnmower that was going into the ditch area. Mr. Walter's house, as all of you are aware, is very close to going into it, so shoring it up is certainly a necessity for that. We've been fortunate that we were able to get a $129,000 grant from DNR. With the $129,000 grant, the $25,000 that's already been expended for the design through Grover Lane Green and Assateague Land, and utilizing the $20,000 that council has already authorized, we feel that we're going to be able to go forth with this project, and our completion date is by Memorial Day. This is why we brought it to council. We have a stipulation from the grant to be done by the end of June, so every day that passes is important that we get the approval. We originally had the bids scheduled to be open last Thursday. In an effort to make sure that all the bidders had ample time, we extended it till Monday to today at 10 o'clock. You have a bid sheet in front of you, along with the recommendation from Del Polar, our stormwater engineer. The bids came from $110,000 to $272,000. As Mrs. Lynch likes to say, this is a no-brainer. We certainly would urge you to accept $110,000. We did an extensive research of the background of the company. I have found nothing but good reports on the work they've done, mostly in the Delaware area. They are doing a project in Salisbury, so that's why they decided to come and bid on the Berlin one, since their equipment is going to be so close. So we're asking you to approve the up to part of the contract. We've already had discussions today. We're probably going to be able to reduce it about $4,000 more. So we're certainly not going to exceed it, and more likely than not, we'll be a little bit less. But if you give us that leeway to go up to the bid amount, we want to get a contract this week, get them a notice to proceed 1st of April so that they have ample time to get the project done by the end of May.
And the exact amount that should not exceed is $110,950.
That's right.
And it seems to me that Barbara and Brandon Walker both are extremely patient through this, very understanding, and I'm very pleased that you came in with a figure that seems apparently very reasonable compared to the
It's going to come in line. What we still have to do, we've ordered the culvert. With the culvert, we're doing home inspections. That was something Mr. Gibbons had suggested, and it's a very good idea. We're going to do before and after, because we're having such heavy equipment on the location. We want to ensure that the house is in the same shape it is as when we're done with these huge boulders and equipment. So we have a home inspection. We have the rental of equipment, and we have buying of the boulders and then some inspection fees. So my calculations puts us probably right at utilizing the whole $129,000 plus the $20,000 that was already approved.
And how much was the grant again?
Their grant was $129,000 from DNR.
So the whole project, when you add everything together,
it's
going to
be close to plus the $25,000 that's already been spent from the ST. So we're going to be right around $175,000.
And where do we have in this year's budget the $20,000?
The same area that I spoke about in 2011. There's the road project that we still have additional funds left, $80,000. And this is where I suggested that we take it out, and council approved February 28th. The Graham Grice Vine, there was additional money left, and we've been utilizing that off and on for some small stormwater project. It was an area that we were able to utilize some funds that are still existing.
Anyone have any additional questions for the town administrator regarding the proposed motion?
I think, $100,000, over $100,000 difference is a other bids, almost 200 Dixie. But I mean, I feel comfortable. I mean, they just did a $37 million project for the state of Delaware, and they completed another project ahead of schedule, so.
I hope it wasn't the Indian River Bridge.
Paul, that was bigger numbers than that. 37 would have touched that. But,
that's for sure.
But I mean, I think that makes me comfortable. I'm always worried about a company, you know, that bids so low from everyone else. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if their references have been checked, and the state of Delaware certainly doesn't mind doing business with them, a lot more money than us.
Would you like to make that motion?
Right. I'll make a motion that we approve up to $110,950.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the expenditure of up to $110,950 with Adel Construction for the West Street Culvert Project. And with the idea that this would we attempt to have this underway by the first of April. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion shows that the motion passed unanimously with all council members present.
Thank you.
Next is this is an annual agreement that we make each year with the Maryland Mosquito Control. Folks, and we worked through the county this, and last year actually we had them do a couple of extra sprays because of those heavy rainstorms that we had at the end of August and early September. This amount for this year's mosquito control spraying program is $6,000 for the year. I think that's the same as it was last year.
No, it was actually $4,000. But because of the additional sprays that we requested, it was closer to about $5,500 by the end of the year.
Okay, well, I would rather have plenty than to have to make last-minute arrangements before a month before summer. If that's all right, we're going because I know at that time we requested because there had been a report of West Nile, not in Berlin, but in one of our neighboring communities, and I think that was to try to put a lid on the, what seemed to be a growing mosquito population here. Does anybody have any questions regarding this contract for mosquito control for this summer? We have a motion to approve.
I'll move to kill the bugs.
We have a motion by Councilmember Lynch to approve $6,000 for mosquito control here in town of Berlin with the working with Maryland's Mosquito Control Network. All neighbors say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes unanimously. And next, we have our departmental reports. First, finance, Lynn Musgrave.
Good evening. Just to reiterate, tonight the budget workshops are coming on quickly. The 15th of April will be for the general fund at 6 p.m. here in the chambers, and the 29th for the enterprise funds, also at 6 p.m. as well. So I've been working hard the last few weeks with the town administrator, HR director, and the other department heads to prepare those budgets for you.
And everything seems to be coming together fairly.
Yep, the numbers changed a little bit every day, but we're working to get a balanced budget for you.
Thank you. Next is Deputy Town Administrator Mary Boland.
I have a couple of things this evening, Mayor. The Parks Commission is looking forward to participating once again with a free children's activity in the spring celebration scheduled for this Saturday downtown. Next week on Tuesday, I will be in Crownsville for most of the day for block grant training. It's their annual training. On Wednesday, I have been invited to give a presentation at the Worcester County Health Conference regarding Berlin's walking initiatives. This is along with other county and municipalities who have undertaken some initiatives to get their citizens out walking. And I have sent out the spring issue of the newsletter this evening, earlier today by mail and by email this evening, that includes information about April's Take Pride in Berlin Week and the cleanup day. This year, we have gone a little more high-tech, and we actually have an online sign-up for cleanup day that we're hoping that people find easy to use and take advantage of.
Great. Excellent. It's very interesting. Do you have any way of measuring how many hits you get? All the communities, now that it's online for the last
year? I would have to check with D3, but I would imagine.
It would be interesting to know. Mm-hmm. It would just be interesting to know people are making that transition.
Well, I have about as many people requesting it by email as by postal mail. Mm-hmm. But I get a few more by email each month, whereas I don't think I've had any new requests for hard copies.
Okay. Well, the trend's going in the right direction.
Yes.
Right, thank you. Look forward to seeing you then. Thank you. Next is Water Resources Director Jane Crider.
Good evening. Work continues at the new spray site. Hopefully we'll start pumping out to the new spray site in the next month. It would be nice, too, because our lagoon at our current site is getting towards capacity. A little full. The 818 project is expected to be completed in May, with the final phase being the paving, which should be the middle of May. So we're looking forward to that. And I wanted to let everybody know that I have not forgotten, but I have not received our copy of the submission that won the award in Delaware for the treatment plan of the year. But as soon as I get it, I will certainly share it with everyone.
Good, good. And did you say in your report that the Maryland 818 roadway would be paid about mid-May?
By mid-May. Good. That's what we were told.
Great.
Make sure
I've heard it correctly. Thank you.
Quick question, Jane, since Mike's not here. Broad Street and West Street, what is going on under that pavement? It is terrible.
The intersection?
Yes.
We were...
Can I see this little square right here?
It's settling.
Yeah.
There seems to be several different opinions, but we have gotten word just last week that it is on the state highways radar.
Okay, so they are aware that
they are, and they're hoping to get it done.
I'm just afraid I'm going
to
just fall in one day there. I mean,
we do pop those manholes. We are looking. There's not sediment in our manholes. There's a little bit in the storm drain, but that's hard to tell where that's coming from, if it's off the road because there's been so much construction and so forth.
But I mean, that corner gets a lot of pressure. The tractor trailers, a lot of heavy stuff just constantly turning. And I mean, it's bad.
So your indication is that they are expecting to do a repair there?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what
sometimes as soon as the weather allows for it, is that?
Yes.
I mean, there is a situation there, and they do know, and they are going to try to, because...
It's not that they're going to, they're not going to try, they're going to, it's just a matter of when.
Thank you.
Next is
a... Bone shaker.
Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A few things to report on. On William Street, we completed the relocation of the two utility poles for the State Highway Administration for the ADA sidewalk. We also replaced a broken pole on Schoolfield Street. The number one generator at the power plant, the repairs and the installation and the testing of the generator is complete. It's up and running properly. There's no signs of flooding issues in the pit anymore, so we solved that issue. Also, we installed a new overhead service to Donaway Furniture. They have two new meters. I guess they're dividing the building now. And then also, I've been working with NBE on the post-emissions testing to comply with Rice Roll. They still have not approved the protocol test, and we're trying to work that out. And then also, I've been working on the budget. We had meter reading this week, and I've been in touch with the Boy Scouts concerning the bat boxes that are supposed to go into Steve Decatur Park. I'm supposed to meet with them tomorrow if it's not raining. and we're supposed to have it installed in the next couple of weeks.
Great. Between whoever, could you maybe get some pictures, maybe the Eagle Scout?
Yes.
I know he's working on his Eagle Scout badge. Get some pictures of that so that we'll have that for the community news and when the actual installation is being done.
Yes.
Great.
Thank you.
Maybe that'll be that much less mosquito spraying. Next is Police Chief Arnold Downey.
Good evening, everyone. Last Thursday, I had the opportunity to go to the biannual Program Advisory Committee meeting at the Police Academy at Warwick. And one of the big topics of discussion was active shooter and the training that they're providing. Over half of our agency has already had that training, and the other half moving towards that. Again, we have representation from SU and all of the local schools. So everybody is concerned about active shooter schools. So we're trying to go ahead and, for the county itself, have 100% of participation in the actual training. And again, we're halfway there.
I don't understand what you're saying. What is the
active shooter, meaning an active shooter actually into a public facility such as a school. So over half of
how to deal with an active shooter?
That is correct. They actually have what we would say in classroom discussion, and they have to go through practicals and scenarios using simulations and through a FAST training, meaning videos with guns and those sort of things.
In other words, what you do with a guy that's ready to shoot someone?
And to be prepared itself, we can't, and I think time has told us we can't wait for a SWAT team to assemble and be ready.
Okay.
So again, whoever is there, the first three people, first two people, first person.
What they do.
What you can, expect and what you need to go ahead and be prepared to do. That means we need to make sure we have the proper equipment and the communication with each agency. A lot of times we look past that point and you end up with different agencies on different channels and those sort of things, not having the ability to communicate. As a county, we've already went past that. We've had the ability to communicate for a while. And again, be prepared to go ahead and work in groups such as Maryland State Police, us, and somebody from the county on an incident and not think that you're going to end up having a group of people from one agency taking care of this type of situation.
In other words, you have a game plan that you sort of almost have to react to intuitively without having to have a major huddle while an emergency is underway.
Because the time is of the essence, and again, have everybody familiarized and trained the same way. Again, there are actually several different thoughts of how to actually do it. The Eastern Shore itself, we're trying to go with one way that we either train everyone.
That way everybody can back up everyone.
That is correct.
Is there something involved in that training as to what you do as an individual with the people that are there, the bystanders?
That is actually a part of the school plans themselves.
Okay.
And again, we're talking about different phases of time where certain people are supposed to rally and meet at certain times.
Mm-hmm.
And again, whenever you go ahead and get into a crisis mode, you want to go ahead and make sure that the students and the teachers themselves know where they're supposed to meet or rally. And again, that's something we've been trying to go ahead and do with each school, and again, we're going to continue to go ahead and try to keep that communication going.
So there's a lot of facets to this training.
Oh, there's a lot of facets.
And this is like the top of the list now, right? This is a big priority nationwide?
Yeah. It is, and I think Worcester County has been in the forefront in essence, because we've actually had this training before January, came around. And we've been looking at this for the last 2 years. Again, that's one reason why we went ahead and formed our SWAT team and actually had to work with Worcester County and those sort of things. If we actually talk about a lot of the resources when you call the state team, we're talking about Maryland State Police actually might take an hour and a half to go ahead and assemble people from across the bridge to go ahead and take care of something. And in certain situations, if you're going to go ahead and do a search warrant, that is applicable. But in situations such as hostage or active shooter, it's not applicable.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to use the resources you have readily available. And you have to make sure those resources are trained properly.
Yeah, tell me if there's going to be a synchronization with the school plan and what happens with that officer on site or something like that.
What the plans have been reviewed, and the big part of that is to make sure the teachers know, and again, we have to get into smaller groups to make this work. that the lockdown procedures are done correctly. Unfortunately, not all of the classrooms we have in our town are actually have the ability to go ahead and lock down. So again, instead of having in open areas, we have to go ahead and have router points where that class is supposed to go.
Yeah.
Certain schools actually have 4 or 5 classrooms that are actually open, no doors that can be locked. And the county actually has had an assessment, and every school in Worcester County has had an assessment done, and a list of things have been taken to the Board of Education to go ahead and say, these are some suggestions that law enforcement have, here's some suggestions that the staff have had, and parents. We're not just looking through it through our own eyes. We've actually had a lot of participation from the parents, and it's definitely been well received, and we love that input.
Well, I'm at Buckingham Elementary a lot, and I've noticed now when you go in that front door, that door to the right, that double set of doors, it's always been open. You know, that's always closed now. Nobody's walking around that school. You got to go inside now, pick your child up, get checked off. I mean, I've noticed they're taking things, but the biggest thing I've seen is in the paper recently that they want to put an officer in each school, and I'm assuming that this person would go through this training and then would coordinate like with people like Paul that work there, then they would then do another, you know, all work together.
That's
right. That depends on an officer being in that school.
If they implement that, every one of them will definitely go through active shooter and a lot more training specific for that function. And exactly what they're going to go ahead and do. And again, they will be part of, each one will be part of the process for the safety plans and reviewing and going over those things. Again, each one of the schools that they have their 2 drills per year at least. And again, we attempt to go ahead and make sure we're there, each one, and sometimes as an active participant and sometimes as a reviewer. And at other times, we have more people who actually do both. We have people actually engaged in a part of the process and someone reviewing and saying, hey, you might want to go ahead and do this, or you need to go ahead and review this. So again, we have a good working relationship with all the principals and administration. So again, it's communication is the key.
I noticed one thing that the BIS, this really changed a lot. The biggest thing is the door locking. Mm-hmm. Every door is locked, including the cottages. And a teacher has to unlock it for every class, and then lock it back once the class is inside. So that was never done before.
That is correct.
So it's a lot of security changes at the schools right now before you even get the officers in the school.
At Buckingham, you know, the teachers like to leave the doors open when it's warm. And I was there one day when Mr. Pacello was on a roll, the doors open, and it was hot in the school, but it can't be done anymore.
And the thing is, it's a learning process. Again, some other schools, they had the teachers go ahead and use the side doors and prop and run through the cars and run back. And the administrators have actually put them the task and advised them that if you have to take a couple more steps to get to the front door, then that's the way you have to go in.
Good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for that report and bringing us up to date on what the security measures are in Berlin Police Department's participation. That's great. And also, again, recognize Berlin Police Department for the, I think you said, 13 years now that you've been providing a school resource officer for Steve Decatur Middle, who also backs up Steve Decatur High School as that needed.
Actually, for the schools themselves, and it started at the high school, and now we actually have the one out of the middle school, correct?
Great. Thank you. Next is Planning and Zoning Director Chuck Ward.
Thank you. I would like to mention the town website once again. As mentioned earlier, having the ability to have that website there, whatever funding was approved, and the work that Mary's put in to keep in keeping them a task on keeping that updated with the things that we need has been so helpful, especially with my department. You know, that the amount of forms that we have printed out, sitting on the shelf for years. And we keep a couple pieces of hard paper in our office now for forms, make a copy if we need it. But so many times people are emailing us things or sending us things and faxing them in. They pulled off the internet, they call up, they've already had a chance to review everything. There's a lot of the out-of-town property owners are so impressed when they find out that, oh, I'll just go online, you're on the phone with them, and they're looking at it while you're talking to them, while you're talking to someone, and it makes it really efficient. It's worked out really well. So From my perspective, the town website is, besides being pretty and having neat pictures and all that stuff, it's extremely functional for the huge amount of forms that we have to deal with on a daily basis. So that's been a big plus.
And I would just suggest that while you're in the middle of doing all your preparation for the budget, take a few minutes to just think about if there's anything, it doesn't have to all be done overnight, but is there anything that your department could use or may benefit from being facilitated on the current website? So, you know, just take just a few minutes, and maybe just find a way to, but that way Mary could put that into her work plan for the new year.
Maybe in a couple of months put a map up there and then put pins on the map for people who aren't cutting their grass or something.
Embarrass them into cutting their grass.
They tried that in Salisbury.
I don't think you're working well then.
Also, to follow up on Mary's mention about the walking initiative, Arnold's St. Paul's Church is having a 5K run walk on the 13th of April starting at 8 a.m. It's Shaw Street over to back out to Flower, Brown School Field, down Flower Street towards the schools, and then back up Flower Street towards the church. So it starts and ends at the church on April 13th. Registration, I think, is at 7 a.m. and they're gonna kick us out of the parking lot running at 8 o'clock. So
great, that's excellent. Good to see you. Again,
I didn't mean Arnold's church. I just meant St. I gave him the registration.
Is that what you're practicing for? You plan on running? You've been training, haven't you?
Good. All right. The next is Human Resources Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Briefly, last week I had Dick First on site here from Legit Reliability, and we took a ride out to the new spray site out in Newark and went to the new pump house over on Branch. I wanted him to get a look at that before we do our renewal. I'm actually with Legit tomorrow doing our annual renewal process, so that ought to be interesting this year as well, because I do believe there are a few changes and things that are going to be presented, but the bottom line, the cost, and I firmly believe it's going to be minimal, if any, for this
minimal increase.
I believe that.
Okay, and of course, that's something you'll be able to give as much lead to them all as possible.
Yes, sir.
Great. That's good.
How about health insurance?
What's that?
How about health insurance?
How about it?
Is that going to be minimal increase?
No, ma'am, I don't know. I truly don't know. I hope.
When does Smith Cropper and Dealey give you something?
It's going to be sometime probably second to third week in April. I'd have a better feel. In fact, Bob Frederick was here today, and I pushed him a little bit. But I also, in turn, just to be candid with the mayor and council, I am shopping just to have another alternative as well. I'm not going to commit to you like I have the last 2 years, ma'am.
I was catching on to that.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just hoping that Chris and Crockett and Dealey are going to want to retain our business.
Very good. Anything else? Next is Economic Community Development Director Michael Day.
Tomorrow I'll be at the Maryland State Arts Council's regional meeting. They're doing the lower score. They're doing it in different locations this year instead of all of us going to one. Kate Patton will be also tomorrow at the same time representing Main Street and the town and Low Research Shore Land Trust at a walkable, bikeable meeting held by the state. It's either East End or Kent Island, one of those two. And then again, Spring Celebration is kicking off our event schedule this Saturday. The weather's supposed to be nice, and it's events from then on.
I mean, that's what the weather's been waiting for.
Right.
Yeah. We should have scheduled it.
I don't know shit.
I would say this, that Kate, just so everyone knows, Kate is asked to be on the next regular session agenda so that she can bring us up to date with the walkable, bikeable Berlin concept plan. And we gave it our blessing, I'm going to say roughly a year ago, and there have been, you know, what they've been doing is seeking a lot of public outreach, plus a lot of partnerships, and she's going to bring us up to date with where all that stands. And so I just want you to be aware of that. And I imagine she'll mention in her presentation tomorrow some of the aspects of what at least is being prepared and planned. And obviously, for them to take the next step, they need to come to the mayor and council and tell us, you know, where they think they will start, what the initial plan will be like, and then how it hopefully will develop over time. So thank you. Next is the town administrator's report.
Thank you, Mayor. I would ask council for the approval of the following three purchase orders. Purchase order 275 in the amount of $2,100 to Beacon Engineering and Consulting for expenses associated with the public restroom renovation project. Purchase order 596 in the amount of $1,200 to MDDC Utility Association for 2013 membership dues. And finally, purchase order 335, the amount of $5,850 to Goody Hill Groundwork for relocation of the fire hydrant on William and Graham Street associated with the ADA compliance of the sidewalk, and this is to be reimbursed by SHA.
Does anyone have any questions for either, for Tony, for either of the three proposed purchase orders?
Are they going to reimburse for a pole that had it
SHA on any of the sidewalk projects has been reimbursing the town for the relocation of hydrants and poles on any of their sidewalk projects, yes.
Move to approve.
14.50. There will be additional invoice. One more invoice should be received on that same purchase order.
The Utility Association membership dues, is this an have we belonged to this before?
Yes, that's an annual fee that you pay to Maryland Miss Utility to be a member. That's a processing fee for processing your utility tickets.
Okay, because I know that it's posted in the electric department to distribution dues and publications, and there's no line item for dues and publications there.
That's where it needs to be, and that's where it'll come out of. They'll just have to budget for it next year.
I mean, if we've been doing this, maybe it's been coming from somewhere else.
We can look into it.
Okay.
As we've said before, a lot of times the departments took money where there was money left, not okay. Where it was supposed to be.
I've never seen something budgeted to a line item that wasn't there.
And by
I've
doing
seen it shuffled around.
Right. By making sure that it goes right this year, okay. We'll be ready next year to okay. Make sure that there's a money.
Because I think isn't 4026 dues and publications.
It could just, the PO might be miscoded.
Okay.
That's why I said we'll look and see where it was coded okay. In the past, and if it's incorrect, it can be moved, otherwise it will stay where it is.
Okay.
Do we have a motion to
approve? Yes, I made a motion.
Thank you. We appreciate your approval.
Way back here.
We have a motion by Councilman Burrell to approve all three purchase orders as proposed by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The purchase orders are approved unanimously. Just have a brief reminder to the council is that between now and the next April 8th, our next regular meeting, I'd like for you to think about what capital improvements you wish to recommend for the next FY14 budget and submit your request to Tony directly. At this time, the department heads are also putting together their request, and that way we'll hopefully have everybody's suggestions and recommendations before we begin the first work session. April 15th. So that would give the town a week at least to. And then they also may need to have some time to kind of get some estimates. If you have an estimate, fine. If you don't have an estimate to go with it, that at least gives the town a few days to get a ballpark estimate of what that capital expense might be. Alrighty. Does anyone have any comments from the council?
I was at Worcester Youth and Family Wednesday night, and Deputy Trotter came. Gave the Stranger Danger an internet safety program, and it was really a good turnout. Chipotle donated some food, and there was about 30 children there and about 7 adults, and it was so well attended. He wants to do it again, and you know, I just think we can't talk to our kids enough about, you know, being safe, especially on the internet and, you know, with strangers. Oh, and then we also, Michael and I went to, and Tony went to the Berlin Farmers Market meeting, and they did sign the memorandum of understanding with the town, which I thought was a good thing too, so that's moving along.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all for having me. Dean?
Is there a vehicle inventory?
Yes, there's an inventory for all of our capital.
Could I get a copy of the vehicle inventory by?
By department.
And just give it to everybody.
Yeah, we do. Remember, we have the equipment on December 8th.
I know Mike's not here, but any word on when the sidewalks are going to start on 5th Street?
The last thing we're waiting for, and I know Tim has been in contact with, is it Comcast, Tim, or Verizon?
Verizon.
There's a pedestal still that needs moved. Tim has been very active in trying to get them moving on it. Unfortunately, weather hasn't been cooperating too good for us, but we certainly, as soon as the pedestal is ready to be moved, work is going to be coming in. So weather permitting and getting the pedestal maybe within the next 30 days. Paul?
Paul? Do we have any comments from anyone who's attending the council meeting tonight? Does anyone from the press have any questions or comments? All right, we have a motion to adjourn. Stay adjourned. Thank you very much for your attention.